This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And hey, happy new year, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Walter Yerkew, your sole host for the day, man. We have Scoop out on some type of a secret mission. He called me yesterday morning, and he's got something going on, probably with his family. His kids are off from school, and he's got a lot on his plate. And he's going to be, he'll be in for next week. But Happy New Year to everybody who is listening to us and people that aren't listening to us yet. Yeah, this is Walter and this is 7-5 Radio. We welcome you to join us week in and week out on Saturday morning and Saturday evening when this show airs. We recorded a day or so early and we tried to bring you the stories of the day. Stories of the afternoon, stories of the evening, what just happens to be going on in the world. First off, I want to mention and take a moment to honor the fallen police officers in 2019. I believe it's on our website. If it's not on our website, it's on our Facebook page. We have a final roll call of all the police that were unfortunate enough to give their life for people who, well, some of them respect them, some of them don't. But unfortunately, these men and women of the police forces across the United States that gave their lives in 2019, it's quite a slideshow. It goes pretty quick because unfortunately, there was an abundant amount of our officers that were gunned down or died during the line of duty in some ugly form or fashion. So go ahead and take a look at that our website or on our Facebook page. I believe Mike Guerin, our not-so-sexy intern, put that together for us. And it goes by quick, so don't blink. And unfortunately, because there's so many, that's why it goes by so quick. I hope you take a look at that. We have a little bit going on in the news these days. Mr. Trump ordered an airstrike or a few airstrikes in the past few days, killing one of the generals, Qasem Soleimani, a general who is known to have been responsible to kill at least 600 Americans during his tenure over there in Iran. When the embassy was attacked, Mr. Trump spent no time worrying about the retaliation or blowback, and he ordered the strikes back, drones, whatever the case may be. And we responded, and we responded quickly and severely. And this general was killed in the attacks. And, of course, what's happening is getting backlash for it. We have, all these news stations, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, making reports that the Democratic leaders are saying that this should have went through Congress before the airstrike. Now, what in the heck good would that have done during the airstrike? I mean, these guys would have ran. I don't think they thought that we were going to retaliate so darn quick and pay him back. Now that the general is dead, now Iran is swearing to, do even more damage to the United States.
I think he needs to go in a little bit stronger. You know, take a book out of Harry Truman and take a page out of Harry Truman's book and drop a couple of big ones over there. And let's just get rid of these people. You know, we were there for, 13, 14 years in that area. And they're still walking around like animals. And, you know, they want to hate Americans. Fine, hate Americans. You know, hell, I hate you right back, but I'm not going to attack your embassy. And guess what? I probably don't hate you right back because I don't know what the hell I'd be hating you for. Except you're killing Americans, morons. These people out there in the third world countries that are trying to be world powers are really, you know, it's like that fly that keeps messing with you at your barbecue. You know, it won't go away. You know, you squash one, another one shows up. You squash that one, another one shows up. So before you know it, you got a whole hamburger full of flies, and that's what the Middle East is like with these so-called leaders. You know, they pop up, they wear a uniform, put a couple of stars on it, and they call themselves a leader or a general or whatever have you. So that's not that's really not worth anybody's time, but they're making it worth somebody's time because they got these bombs and stuff that they created, or we sold them, or Obama sold them, or Reagan sold them, but that doesn't mean now you use them on us. So anyway, it's not like it was Benghazi. You know, we didn't leave our people without backup. What happened at the embassy was unfortunate. And they defended the embassy like they're supposed to. And then we called in for backup. It's like calling a 1013 in the middle of New York City. You know, you're there by yourself with your partner. There's only two of you, and you're getting attacked by five people, seven people. You call 1013. All of a sudden, you got 40 people backing you up. That's just the way it is on a small scale. So the response by the White House was totally acceptable. It was totally acceptable. Some of these left-side Democrats are kind of upset because it didn't go through Congress. Now, listen, it was a retaliation. It was a planned retaliation also. I think it was very well planned. Mr. Trump is getting flack for this general getting killed. But, you know, what happened with Saddam Hussein when we found him, what they call that, a spider hole? And then, 2 years later, he was hanged because of his crimes against his country. Then everybody remembers that scene where Obama-Mami and Killary and the rest of his crew were sitting in their war room watching SEAL Team 6 infiltrate Bin Laden's fortress and killed him. Nobody said nothing about that. It was well accepted by the people and everybody, else in the room. We're coming up on our first break. 75 Radio will walk the earth here all by himself again. Let's have Lambs of Glory for me.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Hey, we're back from my first break. This is Walter with you. This is out on assignment. And Mike Garron has a new job. God bless Mike Garron. It's tough out there to get employed when you're a 55-year-old, 60-year-old man like myself. Mike Garron is on this, 50, 51. Yeah, when you lose a job that you worked for. But he's got a new job and he's doing well. Let's get back to this Iran thing. Like I said, Saddam Hussein, you know, we grabbed him out of his spider hole and he was hanged for his crimes. We went in, the United States went in, SEAL Team 6 went in and executed bin Laden. Nothing. It was pure praise, wonderful. We did a great job. Everybody got slaps on the back. Trump runs this airstrike, kills the airstrike kills the general who's responsible for 500, 600 American deaths, which means murders, and he's getting criticized that, especially by Nancy Pelosi, that he should have ran this airstrike through Congress. whatever that was going to do, I have no idea. His response was swift and severe, and it shows that we are not going to stand by and let Americans be put at risk or allow them to kill any more Americans over there on the other side of the world. Now we have he retaliated, period. They needed help and he gave it to them. Okay. Hillary allowed our brave soldiers get killed in Benghazi and hardly got any backlash about that. Everybody says she did the right thing. Not to risk any more lives, so-and-so. But, well, that's what our military is for, to protect, to go in and protect and lay down their lives. That's what our American military history is about and should remain about. It's unfortunate there's deaths in war, and I'm not promoting the war,
But when you're at war with a country that really has no grounds for attacking an embassy, such as the United States embassy in Iran, you got to retaliate. You can't be a cop in New York and have people shooting at you, and you call the community leader and say, these guys are shooting at me. You think it would be okay if I shoot back? No, you have to take immediate action. And when the dust settles, let's see where we are. The dust hasn't even settled yet. And Trump is getting blowback on this attack, you know, and I believe he has every right to send the troops over there, as many troops as need be, to defend the people that are in our embassy over there in Iran. And we have to not worry about backlash saying now you see, the people in Iran, they attacked our embassy. We retaliate. We killed this general who's like an executioner. And now Iran's president is saying that they're going to retaliate against the United States. You know, they're so redundant, it's ridiculous. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to listen to it. Just let me know when it's over and we won. Because, you know, I support our troops over there. I support Mr. Trump. Just like everybody supported Mr. Obama when they got bin Laden. We never saw that body, but they got him. They got him. And I don't think that Mr. Trump is getting a fair shake on this. You know, I'm not going to say that he's not a politician. What makes a good commander in chief? A politician or somebody that has a head on their shoulders? You know, somebody that has a head on their shoulders. You know, we elected him president. Let him do his job. Let him do his job. Let him do his job instead of getting criticized by this woman over here, Pelosi, who can't keep her own state clean of homeless and feces and needles. The only thing California got rid of was what, those plastic straws, paper straws, the plastic straws. Good luck with that. Anyway, Mr. Trump is going to be, on the hot seat with this too. Well, you know, God bless the man. He wakes up every morning and he looks out for what's best for America, period. And that's why we elected him. All these people that are criticizing him are doing it just to do it. I don't think there's any real agenda. They're doing it just to do it. So that's unfortunate. So we'll keep an eye on that. When Governor Cuomo, we're going to switch over to New York. When Governor Cuomo come up with the no bail rule or no bail law for people that are arrested for nonviolent crimes and such, and you know, there's a number of people that were arrested for a nonviolent crime, and some that they say were arrested for a violent crime, like punching a police officer in the face, and he's released. There's not enough information given for it to make sense. So I'm not going to ignore it, that people that have been arrested throughout history. Okay, let's do that, through history, that have been released, whether on no bail, a low bail, or even a high bail that they could afford and get out on, have committed crimes while they're out on bail. It's always been an issue. It's always been an issue. The Constitution, you're supposed to get a bail that you can afford to get out, but prompts you to come back to court. Okay. If it's a low scale crime, let's say shoplifting. Okay. Let's say shoplifting. Some judges would order, $1,500 bail, and the family would have to come up with $150 to give to the bail bondsman. Bail bondsman would put up the entire $1,500. And that $150 that you know, that you spent is supposed to make you come back to court. Well, you know, I could see keeping the population in the jails down, you know, when you get arrested, you know, when people get arrested, because the jails are overflowing. I mean, you know, you know, it's unfortunate and it sucks that our prison system, our jail system, our holding system is so backed up. It's so ridiculous. And I could see the point of it. But what's not been in the news for ever has been thrust into the news. These people that were let out after the Christmas holidays for whatever reason, you know, out on bail, for, you want to call it free bail, fine. It's ROR. It's released on your own cognizance. It's been in effect forever. And they're committing more crimes, you know, either that day, the next day, the day after. It's been like that since bail was created. It's been like that since people have been released on their own recognizance. And if they, you can't call it recidivism. You know, if these people are career criminals, they're not going to stop because they got arrested. So I could see the point of trying to get the population a little bit lower and making it a little bit easier in the jail. Well, that's our first half of a show gone by, and we will be back after these messages. This is 75 Radio with Walter Yerkew.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The risk of doing nothing was enormous.
America's Secretary of State defending the U.S. action to target an Iranian military commander and kill him with an airstrike at the airport in Baghdad, Iraq.
Enormous in the short term in terms of the imminent attack that Qasem Soleimani was plotting, but also highly risky. Doing nothing in this region shows weakness. It emboldens Iran.
Iranian leaders are promising harsh retribution against the U.S. Meanwhile, Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wants the White House to brief Congress on the airstrikes. Congress opens for business today. Senate leaders expected to address the next steps after the House impeachment of President Trump, fulfilling a constitutional requirement on this day. The House will formally gavel in, but most members won't actually return until next week. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's presidential campaign is exceeding its goal in fundraising. The campaign reporting this morning that it raised $21.2 million in the final 3 months of 2019. Well, the first winter storm of the year in the eastern U.S., first storm of the year, will produce a lot more rain than snow or ice, as it's already setting off flash floods in parts of the south, like Jackson, Mississippi, where over 4 inches of rain flooded streets and stranded vehicles last night. Heavy rains will soak much of the south and the east today, well up into upstate New York, as well as central New England. The first meteor shower of the year will be lighting up the sky tonight. The Quadrantids meteor shower. I don't know. I think I might not have said that right, but it'll be putting on a show from late tonight into Saturday morning. The website Earth Sky says it will be at its best from 2 a.m. to dawn on Saturday. And this is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
We're back from our session break, and we were just sitting next to Marcel, and we were just ending up the first half. I'm here by myself today.
Scoop is out on some type of secret government assignment. He might be over there in Iran, you know, with a AK in his hand, defending our. And people are shaking their head now. They're looking at me. They're shaking their head now. And I said, okay, so Scoop isn't in Iran with an AK-47 helping defend the embassy now. Okay, but he would be if he could, right? Yeah. Everybody's shaking their head. Yeah, and rolling their eyes at the same time. We were talking about the bail law and keeping our jails in New York City free of overcrowding. It's about 20 years too late. They've been overcrowded since they were invented. You know, Rikers Island is at the extreme overcrowded capacity. Queens House of Detention, Brooklyn House of Detention, Bronx House of Detention. You know, these places, they're maximum security. And you know, they got bars and concrete and cages and everything. So, and they are slammed with, low level crimes. Like I said, you know, shoplifting, street level drug dealing, drug possessions, DUIs, you know, thrown into the category. I'm not labeling them not violent. But they're thrown into the category of mediocre crime, nonviolent crime, and they're being, you know, kicked loose, you know, on the pretense that they come back. Well, we haven't had anybody kicked loose yet that had a return court date because this just started. You know, court dates usually, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks after your initial arrest, if you can bail out. We haven't had anybody not show up yet. So we'll see on that part. But people are committing crimes when they get kicked loose. And the big news story is that they were kicked out. They were, you know, put out of jail, bailed out of jail on a very low bail or no bail. And they're committing yet another crime. They've been rearrested within hours, days after they were let go. This has been going on forever. Okay, so I'm not backing Cuomo on this, but the fake news has brought this to the forefront like it's never happened before. You know, they should have brought up statistics. You know, there was I saw on USA News that there was a guy who punched a cop in the face and he was let go by a judge. Now, there wasn't a whole lot to the story. It was more about the new law than this guy bailing out. Now, okay, if you punch the cop in the face, you get arrested for assault, you go to court, and you receive a bail hearing. You know, it's called an arraignment. Now, if the judge let him go on his own recognizance, no, that's not correct. Because if the judge got punched in the face, the guy'd be sitting in the jail, county jail for until his trial, $100,000 bail, easy. Now, I tried to research that case, but really couldn't find anything concrete to report except that this is what happened. He bailed out, and that's it. We'll find out when he shows up to court what's going to happen with the case. If you bail out and you're a career criminal, it's not going to make you stop crime. Because most career criminals, they're not trying to buy, they're not trying to buy a Lincoln Continental. They're not trying to buy a condo. You know, they're committing crimes, low-level crimes, you know, for their personal reasons, maybe to eat. I don't know. Maybe they should go out to the Mexican border and come in illegal, and they'll go to a detention center and get 3 square meals a day. Some people commit low-level crimes to get into jail during the winter because they're homeless and they need a place to stay while it's warm. I mean, while it's cold out, and they can be warm with 3 hots in the cots and exercise. That's been going on forever also. We used to call it throwing a brick. Meaning that, you know, you throw a brick through a window, you get arrested, you go to a place that's warm instead of going to a homeless shelter. So there's a lot of reasons why people are, you know, committing crimes as soon as they get out of jail. Especially, you know, they watch the weather reports and, you know, a storm is coming and they have no place to live. What are they going to do? They're going to go into jail. So now you got Cuomo, you know, kicking them out. What they need to do is, well, you know, I don't have the answer for everything, and I don't have my eyes on the budget or how it works officially. They need to rectify some of these charges. You know, you can't get a case in front of a judge on somebody who's shoplifting so he can feed himself and charge him a fine. Well, he doesn't have the money for a fine. If he had the money for a fine, he would have bought the bread instead of stole it, instead of stealing it. You know, listen to me in my English major. I stole it. So, you know, what do you do with these people that throw bricks? And that's pretty much basically what Cuomo is kicking out. So how often can you, you know, I wish I had Scoopy to bounce this off of, because he would have a whole heck of a lot to say about this. In my opinion, get rid of the docket. Don't just erase it. Get them in, sentence them, get them out. The low level punishment of, you know, spending a week in jail because you stole a cupcake at a grocery store or at a bodega, or you were caught with an open container and you're underage. You know, you were caught with, you know, personal use marijuana. You know, putting that guy or girl in jail for 7 days is not going to sway anybody from, oh, I'm not going to do that again. So it's, you know, the system is not working. The punishments that are being dealt out are, you know, laughable. So how do you revamp it? I don't know. We have elected officials, and some of these things are just out of hand. What do you do when you have 100 people in a jail that was built for 50? What do you do? You know, you got to get some of them out of there. And then the public is up in arms because the people that were arrested aren't being punished or held accountable for their actions. You know, they're not coming to court. They put a warrant out for their arrest, and maybe in 5 years they'll catch him going through a stop sign and catch him on a warrant. So now he gets put in jail on a warrant hold without bail for the same thing that he was given free bail. You know, he was ROR'd 5 years before. So, you know, it's a no-win situation for the system. So many people, so many crimes. You know, you got good apples and bad apples, and unfortunately, both get arrested for one thing or another. They both get arrested. What is it? 25% of the people in the country have been arrested or on probation or parole of some sort in the past 75 years, 50 years. So, I read that somewhere. I don't know if it was true or not, but you know. I'm not talking about all 300 million Americans. I mean, a third of them are underage. Even those are getting arrested, right? Yeah. Well, anyway, so it's a revolving door. And if the door is continually revolving, Mr. Cuomo is trying to put his foot in the door to keep it from revolving. but I don't think he can stop it. I believe that this might be a good idea, but not maybe for New York. The jails are used to being overcrowded. Being in jail is really not the place you want to be anyway. Anybody who commits a crime is expecting to get away with it. They're not expecting to get caught. But if they get caught, they try to make the best out of a bad situation. Mr. Cuomo's trying to help them get out. But that doesn't do anything because now they create yet another court docket by getting arrested when they get out on bail. So who knows if that's going to work. I want to talk about raising the age from 18 to 21 to buy tobacco products, which includes
chewing tobacco. So we want to get back to that after this third break in our show. This is Walter Yerkes. You catch us on 7 o'clock radio on Saturdays. Look us up on our website.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yerkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're back. We're at the... with the, I guess, what you call it? That's on our show this week.
Wishing everybody again a happy new year, and hopefully that everybody is, as healthy as you can be, as safe as you can be. You know, don't take no chances out there on the roads. You know, this I drive every day to work on the interstate, and holy cow, people don't want to let you in front of them. They don't want you to go around them. They don't want you to be, you know, it's just horrible out there. For some reason, everybody's, a lot of people are just being rude out there on the road. God forbid you pull up along somebody and try to pass them when they're going, you know, slower, or they get right on your tail and they want to go a half a mile an hour faster than you are, and they don't like you because you're in front of them. So anyway, be careful out there. It's horrible. On my way home, New Year's Eve, I got home, 11:15 Central Time, New Year's Eve, on my way out of Chattanooga. And I-24 was backed up for 6 miles going the other way because of a tractor-trailer fire. So those people, they celebrated New Year's sitting in traffic jam. If any of them listening, well, I saw you when I drove by at 70 going the other way. We were talking about the tobacco 21. Is the slogan for getting tobacco raised to the age of 21 throughout the United States. It's been 18, the age of 18 since the late 90s. Apparently it's helped curb youth use in tobacco products, you know, smoking and smokeless, as they'll call it. Some states have raised it to 19. Some have raised it to 21. Not everybody is at 21. You can buy tobacco in a state that you can be 18 to buy it, take it across the border, and now you're committing a misdemeanor because the state you took it into is a state that has a 21-year rule. So be careful with all that. I don't know how they're going to address this rule. It's going to be, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember walking into a store, you know, it had the cigarette machines, and I remember it distinctly saying unlawful sale to persons under the age of 18. So it's always been in effect. And then they finally made it a crime to be in possession of tobacco in the late 90s when they raised it nationally to the age of 18, you know, in an enforcement type of situation. So now we're looking to make 21. However, this is what it says. It says raising the minimum legal age of tobacco products to 21 is an important emerging policy strategy to reduce smoking that complements and builds on proven approaches such as tobacco prevention and cessation programs. Free air laws, raising the tobacco to age to 21 will have substantial impact on public health and save lives. In recent years, more than a dozen states have enacted ordinances, issued regulations raising the minimum age for tobacco sales to 21. In 2015, Hawaii became the first state to enact such a law. California followed in 16, followed by Maine, New Jersey, and Oregon in 17. Tobacco 21 is strengthened since 2015 with the release of Institute of Medicine report predicting that raising tobacco sales to 21 nationally would over time reduce smoking rate by about 12%. I don't see them outlawing tobacco at all, because you'll have somebody who is, you know, later in life smoking all their life, and all of a sudden it's illegal. I don't think that's going to be. They stopped tobacco sales in jails across the United States. You can smoke. You can buy tobacco products in prisons because they have outside areas for smoking. Indoor prisons, jails, county jails do not allow tobacco sales. They don't even sell the commissary. They don't let it through in on visits or packages or anything else. So, you know, which is a good thing. I mean, you know, I quit smoking when I was in prison. Next month is going to be 26 years I quit smoking. So, you know, I think it's a good thing that they don't have tobacco in prison. But out here in the street, you know, if you're smoking and you're 19 and now your state is 21, are you forced to stop smoking? I don't know. It, like I said, when they bring this stuff in and raise the age thing, it gets kind of sticky when the issues come up. I believe that I've read, because I do a little bit of research and I can read a little bit, judges that have had these cases brought before them on cigarette possession, you know, it's like the seatbelt law. Don't pull anybody over just for their seatbelt. If you pull them over for speeding and they're not wearing the seatbelt, you ride them for the seatbelt also. And the same thing with the smoking. If you see somebody smoking and you don't think they're of age, just don't pull them over for that. You know, if they got a brake light out, okay. You know, if they have cigarettes in the car, okay. You know, and go that route. But a lot of judges are dropping these charges. The district attorneys are dropping charges. Prosecutors are dropping these charges because the person was of legal age before the new law. So how do you take someone who's been smoking since the age of 18, they're 20 years old and 11 months, and now they're in violation of misdemeanor? So it's going to take some years in a particular place to be, enforceable to the point of it. You know, right now it's just a box on the arrest report that you check that they were in possession of tobacco products. Now, you know, down here in the South, there's a lot of people who, what they call dip, and it's the smokeless tobacco. You know, put a pinch between your cheek and gum, and you get, you know, smokeless tobacco. What do they call that? The nicotine and the, yeah. And then they spit in the cup. Now, that's nasty. You know, they spit in the cup. You know, you're sitting at a restaurant and somebody's, you know, dipping and, you know, chewing tobacco, and, you know, and they got to spit, and they spit in a cup, or they spit in an empty water bottle. I mean, that's what's nasty about that thing. I just don't get it. You have to be, you know, in some states you have to be 21. Some states you have to be 19. But you can see these people have been chewing tobacco for years and years and years and years and years. Is it going to affect tobacco sales? Absolutely. Can the tobacco companies afford to take a 12 or 13% hit, like it says here in this article? Absolutely. More and more people are becoming of age to be legal, and they're going to buy the tobacco. You know, and if they can't buy the tobacco in the store, they're going to get it. It's just like beer when you were a kid. I mean, you always got beer when you were 14. If you really wanted it, you knew where to go and get it, or who can get it for you. So it's not like it's going to be a big deal. I don't know if New York has raised their age, tobacco age, to 21 or plan on it. But if they do, there's going to be more people kicked out on the new bail rule for cigarettes. Now, let's talk about the Staten Island issue a few years ago where a man died in police he wasn't in police custody. He was resisting arrest. And he lost his life because he was selling what they call loosies. Loosies are loose cigarettes. You go and you buy a pack of cigarettes for, what is it now, like $5 for a pack of cigarettes? And you sell the loosies for $1 a piece. You know, there's 20 cigarettes in a pack, and, you know, you make $15 on your $5 investment. So that, you know, those are loosies. So you know, there's ways around these little laws. I think it was 1984 or 85 when they raised the drinking age, the alcohol, to 21. We had people, you know, we had rookies in my academy class who were, you know, 20 and couldn't drink anymore. You know, how do you do that? You know, all of a sudden now you can't go to the club because you have to be 21 now, or you can't go to your local bar and hanging out with your 22-year-old friends. So, you know, it takes a number of years to reach the pinnacle of birth dates and when you were born and how they go to use it when you if you get a lift up or lift it. Well, you know, if you ever show it in the book, this will be it tomorrow. When you hear it, it'll be yesterday. So you people out there, stay safe, love your loved ones. This is Walter Yerkes for Scoop and Mike saying have a great week. We'll talk to you next year. God bless.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.